Ah, God damn it! Fuck this game! Shit.
You should exercise caution, Ryan. You have drank 17 Mountain Dew live wires within the last 2 hours and are dangerously close to...
Ah, shut up, Chad. I know what I'm doing.
Ryan, I have just performed a bioscan and calculated that there is a 92% chance that further ingestion of Mountain Dew live wire will permanently damage your internal organs and may cause hallucinations.
I'm fine. Now shut up so I can kill this fucker and beat this game. Shit.
Scorpion. Win. Flawless victory. Fatality.
You must look to the books.
What the hell is that?
You can't find true happiness in a video game, my boy.
Who's there?
You must look to the books.
Who are you?
I am the Page Master, keeper of the written word, and guide to all those who have lost their way and forgotten the wonder of books.
Books? Who has time to read? Reading's for nerds.
Silence! You know not what you speak.
Why would I read a book when I can play video games or watch a movie?
Ah, but a movie doesn't give you the whole story, don't you see? A movie is limited by time and technology. A book knows no such limits. Only your imagination.
My imagination, huh?
Yes, boy. Whatever you imagine.
Everyone always did used to say that the book was better than the movie.
And they were right. Now go, young Ryan. Your journey begins now. And remember, if you lose your way, look to the books.
Look to the books! Damn, that's good shit.
In the not-too-distant future, four movie fans awaken from a nuclear nightmare, only to discover that the world is a barren, movieless wasteland. However, the destiny of our four heroes is not set. A chance discovery in Sector 2, and an unfortunate accident that rips the very soul from one of their own, will lead them down the path of bringing the lost art of cinema back to the wasteland.
Welcome to Apocalypse Video.
That mutant burlesque show gets better every time.
I know! I didn't think a person could bend that way.
It's those mutants, man. They have three boobs and amazing acrobatic skills.
Wait, where's Ryan?
You're right. He should be manning the register. What the hell? Hey, Ryan!
Ryan! Where are you?
I found him!
There you are. Jesus, Ryan, what happened?
I don't know. I was playing video games when this wizard came in and started talking to me about books and shit.
A wizard?
Yeah, he had a long robe and a pointy hat and a wand.
I think I see what's going on here. I think Ryan had a bit too much live wire while we were gone.
Jesus, Ryan. There's like 20 cans here.
No, I'm telling you the truth. He said the only limit was my imagination.
Uh-huh.
Wait a minute. It looks like Ryan drank too much liveware and fell asleep watching The Page Master.
Yes, that was his name. The Page Master.
Oh, man. I haven't seen that movie since I was a kid. I used to love that shit.
Me too, man. Fucking Macaulay Culkin in his prime, man.
Oh, God. I don't feel so good.
All right. Let's get you to the emergency medical chamber and get your stomach pumped.
He was real, though, I'm telling you. The Page Master was real.
Of course, Ryan. We can watch The Page Master while Chad gets the live wire pumped out of your stomach. You know you can only drink so much before your stomach explodes.
Med pod activated.
Thanks, Chad. And while you're at it, why don't you mind learning The Page Master for us? I mean, I'm actually kind of looking forward to watching that again now I think about it.
Affirmative.
20th Century Fox invites you on the adventure of a lifetime in the most magical film of 1994. Richard Tyler is about to take an incredible journey out of the storm and into a world where imagination runs wild. This is only the beginning. Macaulay Culkin, The Page Master. All the adventure your imagination can hold.
There you go, Ryan. Now do you feel better?
I'm telling you, The Page Master is real. He was here.
Ryan, please. It's pretty clear what happened. You drank too much soda, started watching The Page Master, and fell asleep. It's okay, all right? We've all drank too much Livewire and had to get our stomach pumped at one time or another.
You have?
But anyway, let's get the show started. I'm your host, Dave Snyder. I'm joined again by fellow cinephiles Michael Althaus.
Look to the books.
Wait, was that you?
Don't confuse
all right,
him,
all
okay?
Right, all right, all right.
Please, all right. Ryan Caldwell.
Oh, God, my head still hurts.
And our man in the machine, Chad Greiner.
Bioscans show that there may be residual traces of Livewire still in your system, Ryan.
Ah, fuck it. I'll be all right.
That's the spirit, Ryan. So Pagemaster, I was doing a little bit of research while we were watching the movie, and this is what's supposed to be one of those Mandela effect things, but I swear to God, I remember when this movie came out, I was under the impression that, like, this whole movie was done by, like, I don't know, like the library or someone like that or some foundation or something that was like, let's make this movie that'll like be tailored to kids and it'll like encourage them to read. Like in my mind, in my memory, that's like the genesis of this movie. But in doing some research, no, this was just a fucking movie that someone made. It had nothing to do with it. Am I the only one who thought that this, the whole genesis of The Pagemaster was like some sort of campaign to get kids to read again?
I didn't think that was the genesis of the movie, but... It definitely seems like it has that angle, and it is right? Weird to see a movie take like a very strong like message in a way that's like not about selling a product or anything, or like it's very like wholesome. It seems to just like get a library card and read.
Ooh, a library card. So
apparently it was even like, from what I was reading too, it was even more like the kid doesn't like to read and wants and is taught to read kind of thing. Like he was even more like shoehorned in and not necessarily like this nerd that like needs to be brave. Like that wasn't the storyline. It was like a kid that needs to learn to use his imagination or something.
Yeah,
like the original intent.
It has the feeling to me of like did someone do this as like a like some sort of community service they were court ordered to perform or something.
For sure.
I've never heard of a community service where they're like, we want you to spend $30+ million to make a live action animated movie.
No, well, like in my mind, this is like Christopher Lloyd had some kind of legal trouble and the judge ordered him to do community service. And he's like, well, what if I do this movie where I'm extolling the virtues of reading in the library?
Yeah. It's kind of like an after school special kind of thing or something.
Oh, that's the live action portion, the intro and outro of this movie definitely feels like a live action special, which is funny considering it was directed. Those portions were directed by Joe Johnston.
And when I saw them, the credit, I'm like, was it the Joe Johnston or
the
like...
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, Rocketeer, fucking Captain America, Joe Johnston.
It's so crazy.
I know. And it's like when you watch it. Like, was this... I get the vibe that this shit was filmed, like, you know, in a week or some shit. Like, it doesn't exact... I mean, it doesn't look bad, but it definitely looks like, you know, like a TV special type of, you know, shot quickly type of thing. Like, there's nothing... I mean, granted, like, the movie kind of makes the point of, like, this is reality and it's kind of boring and the world of books is live, you know, animated and awesome. So I kind of get that, but, like, if Joe Johnston's name wasn't in the credits, I would have just assumed this was done by some... Joe
just
Schmo
some guy, yeah.
Yeah, just yeah, it, some guy.
It feels like that first part, well, let's talk about before we like get into like how it's going, like our experiences with the movie, you know, before the fall, you know, back in the real world.
Back in the days of young Macaulay Culkin in clamshell VHS boxes.
Yeah, was it 93 or 94? What is the year? Is it?
I believe this 96? Is 94.
94, wow, okay.
I think.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me pull it
This
up.
Was one of my constant rotation movies as a kid. And it's kind of like these kind of. I don't know if they kind of stopped making kid movies like this where they're a little sinister. And there's some stuff in here that's, I feel like, in more recent times would have been edited out or something like that, or someone would have come in and said like, oh, this is a little too weird for kids to latch on to, or maybe not, I don't know, but there's some like weird imagery in here that definitely stuck with me, and it always kind of stuck with me.
There's a few moments like that, but it's like
the Moby Dick sequence is like fucked
yeah.
There's or the Jekyll and Hyde sequence.
That one's
like
pretty
watching
intense
this, like
too.
I was surprised by how like the lighting, the live action stuff, whatever. All right, sorry, Joe. It's not your best work, but the animated stuff at times is really good. Like especially, I thought the Jekyll and Hyde sequence with Leonard Nimoy, like when he transforms, like the lighting was legitimately impressive.
And the way his whole house is done, it's like a 20s horror movie with like the huge spacious rooms and gigantic kind of cavernous walls and shot on all these like. Angled on these like, you know, Dutch angles things, everything looks really sinister. And yeah, you have that cool thing where you just see like the shadow of him transforming into Mr. Hyde, and Leonard Nimoy is playing him and giving like a pretty intense performance. It's cool.
It's kind of funny because like I agree, like some of those little sequences like of recreating like this classic book is like really great, but in my opinion, most of the animation is not good.
I think it's uneven. I think there's times where it's really good, but there are sometimes like, especially I think Macaulay Culkin's character himself does not look very good.
Well, I looked up some stuff about that whole like maybe why it's not that great, but I don't know. I got this movie there's video of me when I was like. It was probably like an eighth birthday or something, or seventh maybe. And it was at a bowling alley of me opening this movie. And I think I remember, I don't think I saw it in theaters, but I remember I got it. Like there's videotape like of this, a VHS videotape of me opening this up. And everyone's like, you know, there's a lot of all the kids are kind of surrounding you as you're opening your presents. And I feel like I'm just like, I stop. To like opening presents just to kind of read the box, because I'm like, what the hell is this movie? Like I'm like studying the box and looking at the back and like looking at all the pictures and stuff, and like everyone's just like, get to the next one, but I'm just like frozen reading the cover of the Pagemaster, because it's a striking clamshell, I would say.
Is it the one where he's like holding up the sword up to the air?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And the trailer too was like that, and I don't think they sold this movie of what it's actually about. I don't know. Do you think people have not seen the Pagemaster? Should we kind of just like run through it? What it's kind of about? What about you, David? Did you see this when you were a kid at all?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't remember. I feel like this didn't have a clamshell, but like it seems to me like a type of movie that it did.
Yeah, it did for sure. Yeah.
Okay. It definitely seemed. It was that era of Disney and you know animated movies where they'd always have that giant ass clamshell box.
Is clamshell the early '90s steelbook?
kinda, yeah. I mean, they were bit. Fucking like heavy duty.
Yeah,
but, I mean, I knew about this.
It was
movie,
only Disney.
Yeah.
See, that's why I thought it was only Disney, maybe. But anyway.
Well, I think it was, but other companies kind of did it just to like I think get in on that Disney action. You know, like people will think this is a Disney movie if I put it in a clamshell. Mm. So. Yeah,
that's right. I mean, I don't remember. I remember watching this movie as a kid. I don't think I owned it, but it was one. I mean, obviously, I was a fan of Macaulay Culkin. This is like a few years, 3 or 4 years after Home Alone. This is fucking prime Macaulay Culkin. This is like Richie Rich Macaulay Culkin, Getting Even with Dad Macaulay Culkin. You guys remember that
My
movie?
Girl. Was that probably after
My Girl?
I think this might have been the only Macaulay Culkin movie that I had seen. I haven't seen any of the ones you just mentioned, and I didn't see Home Alone until I was like an adult.
Wow.
Oh, dude, Macaulay Culkin was like what you aspired to reach as a kid, like a rich movie star. Like, I
well, this kid in The Pagemaster, I really related to as a little kid because I just like look like this kid, and I was like afraid of everything too. I was like a little kid with blonde hair and big glasses. And I, no one liked me, you know, like all the kids are like making fun of him. And I was like, yeah, that's like me. And I got lost in books too.
Well, that's a good thing. So Ryan, you said, does anyone know about this movie? Let's get into Pagemaster. So, I mean, this is your basic, hero's journey story. You got
like
a
Alice in Wonderland kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, you got someone who resists the call to adventure type thing. He just wants to go home. He's cowardly. Sorry, Mike. He's cowardly, and he's obsessed with. Although they really spruce this character up, like with weirdness. Like he's all into statistics. Like constantly saying, like, "Oh, Dad, like most falls happen in the home or something."
There's
shit
a 3%. Yeah, it's like 3% of home accidents involve ladders, and 8% happen outside. We're looking at 11% probability here.
Well, it's kind of funny because that's all you get from this kid. I feel like it's the fastest first act of all time. Like, it's kind of like...
I love that you basically just see his room and you see, like, he has, like, all these
no
safety
smoking.
Things. Like, it reminded me, too, like, do you think, based on his room and his bike that he ends up riding, do you think they were trying to hearken to the success of Home Alone with, like, look at his weird gadgets?
In the music, too, I think, as well. Like, it was, like, I was actually I had like tons of notes for this movie because I was just going crazy, like, because I forgot how much this is like ingrained.
Well, the
in my
live
head.
Wire was yeah.
Oh yeah, I was just like flying, the bouncing off the walls from this live wire. But it's like I kind of have here the intro, and the intro of the movie kind of has like these clouds kind of forming like the stories we're gonna see as the movie progresses, and I actually have that. It's like pretty rad like music and pretty rad animation for that part.
It's awesome. It's like Fantasia.
Yeah, and speaking of that, the guy that did the animation, that directed the animation, worked on Fantasia 2000. So
it's also, I think a lot of the people that animated this came from like American Tail and those Don Bluth movies.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Were you in the Don Bluth as a kid, Mike?
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't like a huge thing of me, but I like Fievel Goes West and all that stuff, and I was I was into it.
I don't think he
Land
was part
Before
of
Time.
Goes
that
West,
was,
but
that was really. <just kidding.
laughs> I get it. No, that's funny. Yeah, they he was a big part of my thing, and it's cool kind of reading up about him that he actually like lived in Arizona and all that stuff. But
oh really? Oh cool.
Yeah, like he started like Sony. I think it was Sony Animation, whatever made Titan AE, the company that made that. Was made in Arizona, like it was a studio that was made, and it went bankrupt after that movie came out and bombed like crazy. And it was like Don Bluth's company. So, I don't know.
Well, to do some Don Bluth after that, did he like fucking?
I think he's like Mormon or something, and hangs out in Scottsdale. I think that's all he does.
He converted to Mormonism.
I think he is. I think he always was, or something like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's like I was gonna go even dark. Actually, I was gonna go dark, but that may have actually been the darker of the two paths he converted to Mormonism. Assuming he wasn't Mormon already.
I think he was already, but it was kind of like probably not like crazy practicing or something. But I don't know. Like,
gotcha.
I just one thing is like speaking of Culkin and his room and this how he's like the safety nut. It's nuts hearing him say this is not good, definitely not good. I was like, shit. Like, me and my brother would say that shit all the time, quoting this movie. Like, I forgot
you're
all about that.
Quoting Pagemaster?
Like, there's two quotes. Like,
what are the quotes?
There's this is not good, definitely not good, was something that we would say all the time. Or I remember, like, strictly in my head. And I have a couple others that are, like, some decent jokes as well. But I think, what's the other one here?
I think the best line in the movie is when he falls, or I think it's when he falls from his bike and then he starts inspecting his head. He's like, no cranial damage.
Yeah.
That line made me laugh hard.
Yeah. I think my favorite line is probably Whoopi's line where she's like, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. Must be a duplex, and like walks away. Like, that's the only good joke in the whole movie, to be honest. I feel like it seems like a line she probably came up with.
How about the I'm a book, honey, I can read?
There's some good. I think Patrick Stewart has some good lines. I'm not thinking of anything else right now, but I like there's some moments his character's kind of funny.
Yeah,
Well, we brought. So we're talking about Whoopi. You mentioned Whoopi Goldberg and Patrick Stewart. Okay, so quickly before we get into that, let's finish up the hero's journey here. So basic hero's journey. He encounters all these different bits from different books, like Jekyll and Hyde and Moby Dick and Treasure Island and. I guess just your basic dragon story at the end, I suppose. It's not really... That's the thing. Like, fantasy kind of gets a short shrift in this movie.
I think it's because there's no... What fantasy book would you draw from other than, like, Lord of the Rings, which I feel like is too specific and weird.
Like King Arthur or something?
King Arthur's not really, like, a book, though. I mean, it's, like, a story, but it's a book in the way that, like, you know, Treasure Island, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. I think there just wasn't, like, a public domain fantasy book, so they just had to do, like, dragons, whatever.
Dragon. It's like it has a dragon and then it has like little shout outs basically, like fantasy cameos. Like you get the fairies and the egg guy.
Humpty Dumpty.
I feel like such an idiot right now. Humpty Dumpty, the egg guy. And then Jack
Shrek's
and the Beanstalk.
There.
Shrek.
Yeah. Shrek's there.
It's funny,
donkey.
I'm thinking of it too. Like the two of the books they focus on are Treasure Island and Dr. Jekyll. Those are both, and there's also a 20,000 Leagues thing. Those are all Robert Louis Stevenson. So it's almost like he just stayed in the Robert Louis Stevenson section of the library.
There was like a
Jack and the Beanstalk domain stuff.
Jack and the Beanstalk, though, he just like opened a book and used it. That was a cool moment. Like he's like, oh, let me find a way to get out of the dragon, and it's pretty metal. He like grows a giant vine out of the dragon's stomach to escape.
Yeah, well, so we haven't even really talked how he's in these things in the first place. Yeah, he basically stumbles upon a library where Christopher Lloyd's like this crazy, creepy librarian, and then all of a sudden, like, I don't know, the fucking paint falls off the walls and turns him into a cartoon, and then physical representations of genres of books are flying around, and and they're like helping him on his journey, which is the weirdest part, I think, is the talking books.
Well, it's the old, it's kind of a little bit of the old, like, did it happen like for real or was it in his head? It's kind of like the old, you slip and hit your head and now you're going to have a hallucination.
Yeah. That's true.
I mean, it
definitely
happened. We see at the end when he's sleeping in his tree house that the shadows of the books are like kissing each other. There's like too much book kissing in this.
Well, that's okay. So that's something I want to get into a little bit later. But while we're talking about the books, the physical manifestations of book genres.
Yeah, that was just
let's
weird.
Talk about them. It's such a weird concept. It's almost like, so this came out a year before Toy Story, and it makes me wonder, like, it almost feels to me like a similar concept. Like, what if books were like real living things? And like, what would books want? They would want to be checked out, I guess. They're so upset with Macaulay Culkin. He's like, oh man, I didn't realize you were a member. You got a library card? You got to check me out, man.
I do like the idea that they kind of hold him as this like, kind of like a deity almost, not because he's human,
he's a user.
But because he has the library card. They're like further reinforcing, like, look, kid, look how cool it is that you got a library card.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's just kind of weird that they're books. Like, for some reason, I was thinking about, like, why aren't they just, like, why isn't it Long John
Characters
Silver?
Characters from books.
Yeah. Like, why isn't it, like, him stumbling upon, I know he does eventually stumble upon these, but, like it reminds me of Kingdom Hearts a little bit, like, this whole movie. Does that ring a bell for anybody?
I know what Kingdom Hearts is, but what about this? I guess in that movie, or in that game, they go to, like, different places and kind of the same way.
Yeah, it's like a human kind of jumping between Disney movies and stuff, or, like, a human type of character kind of, like, fighting stuff, and he has, like, his little partners from... And it's Mickey and Donald and Goofy that are following around, but like a similar thing where they're kind of like from another story that's kind of jumping between these other ones. But I agree. Like, I don't know why it's like they're like books with faces on them. And it's so weird. Like it's like a bad design. I feel
I think they probably did that is cause it was animated and everyone's always trying to do weird, funny side characters in animation. But I think you're right. It's a bad design. I don't think they like, I bet in their head, they thought that the books were going to be more cute, adorable sidekicks than they ended up being. Cause they kind of look like things that should not be, like, they kind of look horrifying.
Well, it's so funny because like, at first I was like, oh man, like this isn't holding up until horror shows up. And all of a sudden, I feel like the design worked all of a sudden, like just kind of like a creepy zombie book. And I'm like, oh, that one works. And he's actually like a good character.
I like too at the end of it when you see the book, the you know, the at the end of the movie when he comes back to the real world and you see the actual just books that he was dealing with. And the horror book is like this big, weird, screwed up, gross looking thing.
Well, and that's the other thing. At that moment, you look on the covers of the books and they literally just say fantasy, adventure, horror. It's like, so these were just three books in the library that just had a genre on them.
Are these like short stories or something, like, or what?
Yeah, short stories.
Yeah, but that just say fantasy. It's just like, huh? What books are these?
I know.
Are they kind of like those like one and all books where, yeah, like maybe they have some short stories in there, but like they look ancient. It's really weird.
Like, why couldn't like the adventure just be Treasure Island and it's like, and it's all of a sudden like Long John Silver comes out, or not even that, but what's the other, like, what's like the boy character in Treasure Island, like the little boy? Like, I don't know. It's in Muppet Treasure Island, but
why weren't they Muppets?
Yeah. and I feel like it would have made more sense. And then maybe like they go on to the journey into other books like the Moby Dicks and stuff. Like, I don't know. Like, it's so strange. But,
well, it's just like, I gotta be thinking, like, so does each book have like, is it just an amalgamation of all of that, of what's in that genre, you know what I mean? Because at times he pulls out like swords and weird things from his book. Fantasy does that. Horror is able to, like, you know, conjure, like, he seems to know like horror lines and shit. It got me wondering, like, do they just contain all of the genre within them?
I remember the other line that I was thinking of. Sorry, I don't know what the hell they are, but it was he's possessed, he's insane, he's my kind of guy, like that was like a thing that we would always quote. I don't know, and I think that was in the trailer.
So Ryan, earlier you asked, like, I don't know, did anybody, like, was anybody watching this movie? Clearly not as much as you and your brother.
Yeah, did you guys see what the box office of this was?
It was bad, yeah.
It was dismal. $13.7
million
out of a budget movie. of almost like $30+ million.
Wow.
Yeah, this seems it was an unmitigated disaster, which is, it's weird, yeah, because in my mind this is like a classic.
It probably did okay on VHS, I feel like. Like, it probably, I wish you can figure out those numbers, because I feel like it's probably a movie that was rented a lot. Like, do you remember, like, when we used to work in the video store back in the old days, David, did people rent this? I know people in the wasteland haven't really discovered it yet.
Honestly, you know what? I think the only time this movie got played was when I put it into the DVD player at work and played it for the store. That's the only time.
It was a good one for that, I feel like. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you, didn't you find our copy of this under the live wires you were drinking?
Oh, yeah. It was almost like digging into the books in the library that Macaulay Culkin's going through.
It looked
through.
Really dirty.
Yeah. No one's touched this thing in years. And it's I don't think it's a movie too that's like stand the test of time either. Like,
no.
Nobody's talking, like, even when Macaulay Culkin in around like the it'll be like the end of the aughts or the end of like before the like, and then like 2018, I feel like he was having a little bit of a comeback, at least social wise, and nobody's asking him about Pagemaster. It's just all Home Alone, you know. So,
well, it might be something he wants to forget. Like, further dive into the trivia, he got nominated for a Razzie for this movie.
Well, he's really not in it that much. I mean, he's a voice actor. What are
you talking
about?
He's a voice.
He's a voice actor for most of it, but most of his lines are like screaming, I was thinking watching this, like, how much of time was in the studio? Just Macaulay Culkin, like,
all right, now Macaulay, just say exit like 50 times. We'll just kind of piece things together.
Yeah, and he barely, and in the live action stuff, he barely says anything either. It's just him going like, statistics. Like, from what I read, like, what I was saying earlier is that I feel like the movie originally had a more of a message of, like, this kid doesn't read and needs to learn to read. And it feels like a lot of stuff's cut. And it's just like, oh, no, he's just a nerd that, like, is, like, scared of everything and
stuff. You know who is giving it all? They're all, I think, Christopher Lloyd.
Oh, he's the best actor. He's the best actor of all time.
He's basically like hot off of doing like bumps of cocaine and then like doing his lines. And I think Patrick Stewart is pretty good. I think those voices are all good.
Yeah, all the voices are great.
Yeah, I mean, Leonard Nimoy, Whoopi Goldberg is Whoopi. You know,
yeah.
It's kind of like a weird Star Trek fanfic that you got like Patrick Stewart, Leonard Nimoy, and Whoopi Goldberg all in the same movie.
Yeah,
it's Spock. Do you care? You may remember that.
Well, like, how great is Christopher Lloyd? Like, when he gives this whole thing, like, you know, he comes in all mysterious, then he sees the kid. And the library,
by the
way. I know
what people need.
This library is gigantic and empty and dark.
In the middle of nowhere.
In the middle of nowhere.
And he was hanging out with the lights off.
It's like in a forest.
I know, right?
Yeah, what like was he jungle. Doing before Macaulay Culkin showed up? All the lights were off in this like gigantic,
it's just like marble.
It's weird. Come. It's like what I imagine like the New York Public Library looks like inside, but it's in the middle of like a forest.
What if like the library appears? Like what if it's totally like a like a thing?
Oh, that would be a good last scene. Like they go to like check out. He goes to return the books, and
it's
there's
gone.
Like
yeah.
It's like it's or gone. It's like an abandoned building,
or that, or it's just like an empty orchard or something. You know, like in Back to the
what
Future.
What if like Christopher Lloyd like. It was just a closed down building, and Christopher Lloyd is just like acting as if he's like the librarian.
No, he went to go play for the Angels in Anaheim, basically. Mm. The Angels won the pennant.
That'd be a good one to watch for the show.
Oh, man. Angels in the outfield.
Yeah, that is a good point because this library looks like, I mean, there's like stone, like pillars and shit like that.
Gargoyles,
like this is a pretty
shit.
Marble.
Yeah.
Marble. Yeah, a giant fucking mural.
Oh,
on the
God,
top.
That
I mean, mural
is crazy.
Money went into this.
That looked empty. Expensive. Whatever. If it was a set, like that whole little circle in the library looked crazy. So,
I mean, I will say libraries, you know, back in the day, they did have a tendency to use a lot of architecture like that, even in places you wouldn't normally expect it. So maybe there was someone who was just designing libraries across our country and was like, no, it's got to be marble and big.
Oh, it looks like the Sistine Chapel or something.
I know, right?
Well, okay, this is the part that I have not seen in any library. The part where he falls, I mean, so he's looking around in the beginning the library, and the whole library is beautiful and opulent or whatever, but then he gets to this kind of fulcrum of hallways where they all kind of connect, and it's like a big compass on the ground, and he looks up, and that it looks like the Sistine Chapel. There's these lovingly painted, very like high quality detailed paintings of like the stories that he goes to. You have Treasure Island, Moby Dick, generic fantasy dragon, and all in the middle of it is the Pagemaster.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, it's funny, like, which kind of maybe leads a little bit more into like maybe this library didn't exist at all.
Yeah, know? Right.
Because he sees that before he slips and has his was it a hallucination or wasn't it type thing.
Yeah, like there's like water on the ground and he slips and falls basically.
Well, it's because he's wet. He came in from and it was raining outside. But still, like when he looks up, I mean, the Pagemaster clearly looks like Christopher Lloyd.
That is a cool little painting. Do you think that was a real like they made that? Like I don't know. And then there's kind of like CGI.
It might have been smaller
that
than
down.
It seems.
Yeah, that's true. It was a smaller, like more like a matte painting that they kind of like did. That's cool. It's a cool image. Like, it's so funny because I feel like Joe Johnston. Is it Johnston or Johnston?
Like, I think it's Johnston.
Yeah, like him Johnston. And, like Joe Dante. I always put like the same like kind of camp. I feel like kind of guys that like made some really big movies and kind of like haven't really done a whole lot, you know, since kind of thing.
Big movies like Jumanji and Jurassic Park 3.
I mean, yeah.
Hey, now, Joe Johnston also did Captain America. He did The Wolfman, which wasn't very well received. It had a complicated production, but like I kind of liked that movie for what it was.
Yeah.
And I think the last thing Joe Johnston had to did.
Oh, he did The Rocketeer.
Yeah.
Yeah, fucking one of the best comic movies ever.
So it's
get off
like,
his dick, man.
Yeah, like he's great. Like, and so it's kind of like I always put him with like kind of Dante a little bit, and it's just kind of like it was so weird to see his name pop up for these little live action things because it definitely does feel pretty half-assed a little bit. Those, but except for these sections, I feel in the like library, what they really,
yeah, the stuff in the library is cool, and the CG of the paint falling is weird now. But I do remember at the time thinking was like, whoa, that's fucked up.
Yeah, the dragon, like paint dragon, kind of chasing through is kind of cool. It doesn't really make any sense how it kind of like meets in the middle like that, but it's still like a pretty interesting idea. So,
oh, I just pulled it up. Okay, so I forgot about this. He did that Nutcracker movie in the late 20-aughts, the Nutcracker in the Four Realms.
Oh God,
it looked like I think he also did realms. The Chronicles of Narnia, the Silver Chair.
Is that a real movie?
I think I never saw it, but I think it came out like in around 2020 or something.
Yeah.
Or at least he was announced to do it. I don't remember if it actually got made or not.
That's crazy. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how I got roped into this one though, but
like I can believe that Joe Johnston got into an accident like with DUI and like you need to direct this. You need to do some sort of community service. He's like, I'll direct this thing that'll only take me like a week to do or some shit.
Yeah, it sounded like from what I was reading, what Chad was printing off for me, was that it had this, you know, like that more kind of cynical message that like kids keep playing video games and watching TV and not reading. We need to get them to read and it kind of put that back a little bit.
I like that you think that's a cynical, message of get kids to read more.
At least back then,
it really
speaks
to you, Ryan. We're not selling movies. Like, you're always playing fucking video games and drinking LiveWire.
I know. I really need this movie for sure.
What's the last time you read a book, Ryan? What was the last book you read?
I'm actually reading right now a Miyazaki book and also a Star Wars making of book and an editing book, but they're all kind of
so
like
all based off of movies. Books about movies.
When you say reading, are you like reading these before you go to bed, or like, you know, how often are you reading these books?
I don't know, like a couple times a week.
Haven't you been reading the Star Wars book for the last five years?
I restarted it, you know, recently.
It's like 200 pages.
It's a good one. It's like a good, it's like an interesting, like a you know, it's like a documentary almost. And I don't know, that's kind of the stuff I like, is the more usually if I am reading, it's the more nonfiction kind of stuff than the fiction stuff. So, you know, this movie speaks to
I've been reading the Game of Thrones books for the first time, and that we were just discussing of like, why isn't he in a specific fantasy? That would be kind of funny if for the fantasy he was in a sort of like Game of Thrones style, just like horrific bloodshed kind of thing. Maybe that's why, because like if you start reading fantasies, it's like, well, they're kind of intense maybe for a kid.
Maybe if this were a Miyazaki animated movie, they'd get a little darker like that. But no, this is community service. We got to get kids into the library again type of movie. So
reading is fun.
Yes, exactly. Which, well, here's a question. So, Ryan, can you remember back in the day? So, again, like I said, I had this Mandela effect thing. Like, that was the purpose of this movie. So did this movie... even though technically that wasn't actually, you know, like the purpose of the movie, you know, per se, did this movie make you want to read more after you saw it as a kid?
Nah, not really.
Of course not.
But no, I have read.
Did you ever play the Pagemaster video game? I was a big fan of that. I had that on the Genesis.
But I don't remember it really at all, but I've had to.
I always thought that was, or I think now, I guess that's funny that like, okay, we came up with a Pagemaster. Let's do like an adaptation of it. Should we do a book? No, fuck that. Let's make a video game.
Video game.
That's probably why they took out the mention of video games out of the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Probably. Like, we're going to cool sell some video games, and hopefully this becomes a cartoon for TV. Like, we can't bad mouth these things. Let's just make them a wimp instead. Like, that's basically what it sounds like.
This totally would have worked as a Saturday morning cartoon of just every episode you have him going through another public domain story. There's enough of those for a couple seasons. Yeah, exactly like Wishbone, except with cartoon Macaulay Culkin.
And the Pagemaster is a cool name for a show, I think.
It's a cool name.
TV show, yeah.
Yeah, it's so funny that watching the trailer of, like you don't see anything about the books. It's just Macaulay Culkin as a nerd picking up a sword, and it's like a new adventure awaits. It's kind of like a...
Yeah, the most fantastical movie of 1994. And there's just, like, fog. I think it's one of those trailers where it's not... They have a lot of stuff that's not even in the movie. Like,
yeah, it's
they
just
shot
like a made
for the trailer.
For it. Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like a... It reminds me of... there was a movie that came out in 2019 called The Kid Who Would Be King. And that movie's a lot better than this one. But but kind of like a similar kind of vibe, I feel like, the way it's kind of advertising the whole thing. Kind of hero's journey, knight in shining armor with a big sword, little kid thing.
Well, it sounds like we're more or less, it seems like you guys are the consensus, like this movie's kind of forgettable, but, and I guess I would agree, like story-wise, but like, I mean, animation-wise,
there's something to this.
There's something here. Like, some of the animation is legit good, although, like, it seemed like some of the
I think it's
like,
uneven.
It's uneven, and Ryan, you said you saw something in the trivia that might explain that.
Oh, it sounded like it was kind of a rush job, or they changed a lot of stuff last minute, and it was basically like one of the animators said later in like a talk or something, or some sort of class, basically, that you can't change story in animation in the middle of production, and it was referencing this movie.
That makes sense, because the stuff that I would think of that I think is like the most striking and seems like the most time was spent doesn't really have much to do with the story of what's going on. Like, I mentioned the Moby Dick scene earlier, and that I think that's like, that's probably my favorite part of the movie. I think that's like really well done, where they're you know, that your cast of characters, they're sailing in the ocean after they just got their boat, and they see Ahab, and he's like, "Have you found the damned whale?" Like, and I was like, "Oh damn, he said damn." Yeah. And you see Moby Dick come up, and then the lighting changes to where everything's red, and the water of the ocean is like blood, and it's gnarly. Like, not only is it like twisted, and as a kid I was like, man, this is so cool, but as an adult now just watching it, like, oh, this is like really well done and like artistic, and just seems, it's cool. It's just beautiful animation to watch. Not everything's like that though. Like, the contrasting bit, I think the worst part is the pirate sequence, where they're kind of like taken aboard on the crew. It's really like generic ass, just we're pirates, and you know, there's moments like that, you know, where it just feels like, well, you had these great ideas for some things, but maybe, yeah, I guess for other things you were just rushing to get the job done.
Yeah, basically,
well, like,
says,
the Jekyll and Hyde stuff looks pretty good, I thought. And also, like, when they're in the bookshelves, like, like you mentioned earlier, like, I mean, at certain points, like, the shots, like, in the library when it's animated, like, are almost like fucking impressionistic films. Like, the bookshelves go, like, super high and are, like, super long.
Yeah.
I mean, it almost reminds me
there's
of, like,
there's a lot of, like, impossible architecture going on.
Yeah.
And even in the horror stuff, when they're on the back of the house, they're descending, like, these gigantic stone things
books.
Shaped like books. Yeah.
Yeah, that was awesome. I love that shit.
Yeah,
I think you're right. I think at a certain point you got Hyde, and then it ate Moby Dick, and then it kind of veers off into like kind of cheesy pirate animation, and then it picks up again where they're like, all right, well, we had all that pirate stuff. Let's get back to what we were doing before with the dragon shit.
Yeah, so it says,
like, I thought the dragon shit looked pretty good. Like, there, like, when he, I'll say this, like, I love movies, fantasy things where, like, this is one of my favorite, like, movie tropes or fantasy tropes, whatever. When you walk into, like, the mouth of a creature or something, and then when you get sucked in and you're in its belly, like, I love that shit.
Yeah, that's a good trope. More of that.
Yeah.
So, Chad just printed this out for me. It says, according to the film's animation crew, the film went over budget during animation production due to mismanagement and changes to the narrative. The 2001 book Producing Animation by Catherine Winder and Zahara Doladadabi, I guess it was Johnson's assistant on The Pagemaster, recommends against making story changes during the animation process.
Is this a book you've read? It sounds like based on what you've described, this would be
weird. This was just like a piece of trivia that Chad printed off for me. He probably got it from the internet, you know.
Which is the only thing Ryan really reads anymore is trivia printouts.
Yeah. No, I it's right. What I enjoy reading is about, you know,
I know one thing he's definitely not reading is the warning label on those Livewire cans.
Oh, yeah. don't mess with those. You know, it kind of comes back around. If you just drink so many, then, like, your system just kind of becomes immune to it, and you can finally, you know, start taking them in all right. But it still gives you a old tummy ache.
I don't know about that.
Well, I got something I wanted to bring up. I mentioned it earlier. So I mentioned, like, the whole sort of Toy Story-esque aspect of the books, how they want to be checked out. I feel like they have a pretty grim fucking existence at the end of this movie. So they finally get checked out. Christopher Lloyd does Macaulay Culkin a solid. It's like, well, this is a temporary library card. It only allows you to pick two books out. But you know what? I'll let you pick out a third one. I won't tell anybody. So he goes home. He goes into his treehouse. Ed Begley Jr. is all happy. Oh, my nerdy son's finally in his treehouse. Great. Awesome. They go inside.
And that's sucks. When you see...
Huh?
Oh, just saying, his dad sucks. Like, the whole arc of his dad is, my kid's too much of a dweeb.
Well,
like,
building this treehouse just
for the dad. The kid is not interested in it.
A brief tangent. Did you guys get the sense that Macaulay Culkin was adopted?
Because
the way this dad acts towards Macaulay Culkin is weird. Like, he keeps really wanting to, I want to interact with my son. I signed him up for baseball, and all I could do is talk about statistics and blah, blah, blah. Like, I get the sense that, it's okay for a dad to have interest in his son and want to, do things with him. But the way he was doing it struck me as a foster dad who just adopted a kid who really wants to, interact with the kid and stuff like that, like a son. Like, was I the only one who got this vibe?
I got a different vibe. I see where you're coming from, but the way I took it was a little bit more of, he hates his kid, and he's one of those parents who, I will only love my kid if they become what I want to be. He's upset that Macaulay Culkin's going down his own weird path of, his kid's probably, going to be a genius. He's, has all these gadgets and shit, and he's like, why isn't my son climbing trees and going
to... Why isn't he in his tree house?
I think there should have been one more... he talks about that scene with the baseball you just mentioned about, you called the kids all the statistics, no one wanted to play. Why isn't that scene in the movie? I feel like they basically... The dad... has the first lines in the movie is basically explaining about his son, how he's a fucking nerd. And then that's it. That's all information you get in Macaulay Culkin. Other than he has a bike with safety stuff on it. And, I kind of always thought that looked kind of cool, to be honest.
I did too.
Yeah, I love that it had a constant siren blaring.
Yeah,
as he's,
that was all about that. I was the dork that had a siren on my freaking bike when I was a kid. With a little speaker. Oh my god.
Did you really have a siren? You had a siren on your bike?
It was like a little thing, it was almost like a little speaker. I don't even know how you explain it. Almost like a loudspeaker that you can talk into. And it had sirens and shit on it. It was like a little tiny little thing. But yeah. I was probably from watching this movie, to be honest. I was probably oh, I want that. And then I remember those kids ramping that he make fun of him or something for his
that his, ramp, his by the way, is fucked up. It's a construction site, yeah. And it's at least 10, the ramp itself is 10 feet high.
I was so disappointed that Macaulay Culkin wouldn't ramp off it because it looks so fun.
At the end.
Yeah, he did. Yes, he did, yeah. But I remember that moment, I'm Scrooge. Come on, you can do it, kid. You can do it.
I love that he that's the scene. Plus, Ryan, the movie's already an hour 15 minutes. You can't cram any more into this thing.
I can't believe
I figured Joe Johnson probably only had a week's worth of community service he had to do, and once he got after that, he's we don't need any more character development.
Job done.
But anyway, getting back to what I mentioned about the books, so it seems like they have a pretty grim fucking existence. So after we see Macaulay Culkin, his dad turns off the light and lets him just sleep in the, in his treehouse. You see a silhouette of the books in their animated form talking, and they, Patrick Stewart goes to kiss, and there's this funny moment where he's like, "Give me a kiss," and the whore kisses him, and he's like, "Oh, I wanted to kiss her," blah blah blah. So it's like. And I think Patrick Stewart, doesn't he mention something he calls it the land of adventure, and they're all looking around nodding. I'm like, is that their existence? They get checked out. The kid reads inside of them, which is a weird concept to think of. And then when he's not reading them, they're just out and about, just kind of looking around, nodding wow, this place is pretty great. Right, guys? Is that all their life is?
Well, they have friends now. I mean, it's not I that guess. Bad. they get to see new locations, presumably, as long as they're getting checked out regularly, they're just kind of always in new places. You're like, oh, this is a cool spot, I think that's all they need is books. They have different needs, I think, than we do as humans.
I have no idea.
I don't know. It doesn't translate the same way that something like Toy Story does, where their mission in life is to make a kid happy. With books,
if there had been sequels, maybe we would have gotten some elaboration on what the existential feelings of the books were.
If they did a sequel, it would have been some other kid, and it wouldn't be the same characters, It would be that, I don't know. It's weird. I remember... I think maybe when I watched this as a kid, I was checked out by this point, I feel like. No pun intended. I don't know. Because I didn't remember the end. It was so weird. Like, the dragon
Did you, like, stuff. Stop paying attention once after the dragon happened and, like, the cool fight scene? Like, whatever, okay.
Yeah.
Books, reading, whatever.
I think so. Like, I don't... It's so weird. But you're right. I guess I did remember, like, the shadows on the wall kind of thing. But that is such a weird idea, because is it real? Is it not? Maybe... Okay, maybe Macaulay Culkin. This is what's happening. Since it didn't really happen, and, you know, this library didn't exist, that's just him dreaming them, the books talking to each other, you know, while he's sleeping in his treehouse.
Okay. Yeah.
So,
what if when he jumped off the ramp on his way home, Macaulay Culkin died, and the rest of this movie is the last thoughts he has as he's bleeding out on the pavement.
The whole they were dead the whole time bit, eh, Mike?
Yeah, exactly. It's my crack.com theory.
You guys think Damon Lindelof watched this while he was writing Lost and just like, ooh, that's good. They were dead the whole time.
It'd be good if this opened with just Macaulay Culkin. The opening of Pagemaster is just Macaulay Culkin opening his eyes.
Don't be spreading fake news, David.
Yeah, and also, Dave.
I just busted your balls, Ryan. I knew that it happened.
You should, like, learn how storytelling works.
Yeah.
Anywho.
Everything that happened happened.
You guys got any other thoughts on Pagemaster?
Let me look real quick here.
I would like to conclude by saying, whoa.
What am I thinking of? I forgot. Oh, how could I have forgotten this? There is the whole unfortunate scene of Patrick Stewart basically like, okay, I don't think he wants to rape Fantasy, but he definitely forces himself upon Fantasy, which is a little weird for a kid's movie.
Does he?
The whole thing is weird. Like, why are the books even like... The books are into sex. That's like a decision they made.
Why does Fantasy have panties? There's a moment when she walks out after he tries to kiss her and she's like pulling her panties up.
How are you going to know she's a woman unless she doesn't have panties?
It's like a skirt or something, isn't it?
Yeah. No. There's a line of like a pantyhose. There's a line where Fantasy is introduced and she's... Because he, like, she saves him from falling because she can fly, and he's holding on, and she's like, stop grabbing on my pantyhose, Macaulay Culkin. And it's like, and she pulls him up, and it's like weird. And there's like parts where she's like sticking her ass out. it's really weird. Like, all the book stuff, like, no, take that out. Take, like, that's like a John Lasseter thing with like Buzz Lightyear. Like, boom, wings popping out. Like, I don't like that in these. Just no.
I like that weird. Boner. The boner in Toy Story 2.
Ryan can appreciate a good boner joke.
I can appreciate a good boner joke. But
he's excited.
That's not a good boner joke.
It's not a boner. He's just excited.
It's definitely a boner, Ryan.
He lost control. he lost control of his wings. You're the one.
You're afraid of Toy Story.
No, that is definitely what it's intending to get across, and it's weird.
Yeah, it's PG.
It was 1994, Mike. It was a different time.
Toy Story 2 is a goddamn masterpiece. It's the best one. But
all right, Ryan. You said you thought you sounded like you had something else you wanted to say on Pagemaster before you wrap it up.
Not much. I mean, I do think it. This isn't one that you like kids of the future need to watch. You know, like I feel like it wouldn't be one I recommend if I ever have kids in these wastelands kind of thing. It's not really worth it. I feel like, but it was memorable. I had flashbacks watching this for sure, and I think like lines that stuck out. But it is definitely kind of a half-assed job. I think it could have been a really interesting movie. But there are some really good aspects with those animated parts with Jekyll and Hyde and Moby Dick. In the very intro to the movie with the dragon clouds, there's like really beautiful animation and like prime, you know, early 90s kind of style. But then most of the movie looks like crap, the whole other than that. But
this is one that, like, in a world where everything was being remade, it would have been cool to see a... You know, this would have been, I think, a good candidate for something to be remade, where the idea there is kind of interesting, but it wasn't that well executed on.
Yeah, I mean,
I'd agree.
It's like, okay for what it is, but
I would agree. I wouldn't recommend it necessarily, but I would give it a little, I'd give it a gold star, like a good try. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Like it's going to be one only a specific amount of people remember, at least, like, you know, like it's like you had to be at that age when it came out. Like there's no parents showing their kids this. And if they are, they're nuts when there's so much other better shit to be showing them. But I don't know. It's interesting. It's not a terrible movie, but it's kind of like, I don't know. It reminds me of a bunch of movies that like don't exist during that time. Like remember We're Back, A Dinosaur Story. Remember that?
Was that like some kind of sort of knockoff of Land Before Time?
It was like a thing after Jurassic Park came out, and it was like an animated movie, and it was probably a similar company because the animation is really similar, but it was like dinosaurs are brought back into the real world or like aliens or something. It's the weirdest movie ever, but there's like a bunch of movies like this that just don't exist, like Rock-A-Doodle, you know, kind of thing. Like there's all these kind of animated movies that like don't get re-put on Blu-ray, you know, to or streaming for people to watch. They just get lost to time, and this is one of them.
So yeah, like as far as like I don't know, meta existential stuff. Like, I would recommend Toy Story, not Phasemaster.
Yeah.
As far as like, you know, inanimate
objects.
Yeah,
and
objects
for cool, weird animation stuff, like watch Fantasia.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, like watch some Miyazaki, you know, to kind of get like your imagination.
I don't think it's
going
like the same kind of vibe, though.
Yeah, but I feel like even if you watch like the dubs, like you can kind of get your imagination going with those. I feel like, and I don't know, just this movie, like. It's kind of a bummer that it doesn't really, it's not like, wow, this is like a thing you gotta, you know, recommend to people or to re-evaluate or something to show kids or something, because it's not really that exciting, unfortunately, but it's okay.
Well, like I said, a nice try, Pagemaster.
Yeah, nice try. Yeah.
All right, well, that was the Pagemaster, and you know what? I'm glad you had that Livewire freak out, Ryan. If you hadn't, we might not have ever talked about that movie on the show.
You guys think I'm crazy, but there really was a book wizard in the store.
Ryan, for the last time, there's no such thing as a page master.
What the hell was that?
It came from the bathroom.
Maybe it's the page master.
Ryan, enough of that shit. Mike, throw me the shotgun.
Right.
Who's in there?
Just a minute.
Okay, pal, I'm giving you the count of three to get your ass out of there.
Be right out.
One, two, three.
I'm sorry, I just had to use the bathroom. I'll be going now.
It's him. It's the Pagemaster.
Pagemaster? What the fuck are you talking about, Ryan? It's just a filthy old man. Oh God, he's been sniffing our Ajax.
I don't know how all that powder got there. I was just using the bathroom and it fell from the cabinet.
Get the hell out of here.
Okay, no need to shout.
And stay out.
Pagemaster, you need to lay off the live wire, Ryan.
I guess so.
Don't forget, Ryan. Look to the books.
Whoa. There, you see? He is a wizard.
Oh, God. Now he's naked.
Oh, your sweet, sweet magic dust belongs to me now. So long, suckers.
You still think he's a page master, Ryan?
Maybe you're right. Maybe I better lay off the live wire.
It's all folks.